SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up here on SB Nation AM on a Friday. So we're going into the weekend. We're feeling pretty good. Let's feel even better. The good of the day.
Oh, the good of the day. You know what? I mean, I'm going to preface it this way. This is good for you and I.
You and I. Okay.
It's not good for Byung-hun An or An. I'm not sure how to say his last name.
Is that the golfer?
That's the golfer.
Yeah.
Basically, what happened is the first green at WGC Mexico, the championship going on.
Yep.
He drove it all the way to the green.
Wow!
I think it's a par four. He hit like 312 yards, 300 plus yards.
That's amazing.
Yeah. 312 yard drive to reach the green off the tee, off the first tee. He proceeded a four putt.
Oh, that's horrible.
From 25 feet out.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
It's terrible.
That is
But the
terrible.
Reason why I'm saying it's good, because you know what? A situation like that makes me believe, and probably you believe, we can be professional golfers.
Yeah, right?
I mean, four putt from 25 totally feet. That's easy.
I totally can.
Not only that, but I think it was there was three putts from within 3 feet.
I had a friend of mine I was playing once who was an okay golfer, not great, but one time we were on a par five, and he had a really good drive, and I think he got some help from the cart path, so it went a little bit further than he normally hit, and then he had a three wood to the green, and he knocked it on the green from the three wood. Now, this is a guy who is probably a bogey golfer, so he's got a putt for eagle. He doesn't have a close putt, but he has a putt for eagle. And so we were kind of giving him some, you know, they said, well, at least two putt for birdie. He putted it off the green.
Yeah, I can see that.
Off
happen.
The green. And went off the green and down a hill. And he had to chip. And he made like a seven.
Yeah.
And I still tease him about that to this day.
See, Alan ran his first putt by the hole, leaving himself a 2.5 footer for birdie. Not too bad.
Not too bad,
you know,
yeah.
I made 25 feet out. That's not easy.
No.
And so if you can't make that eagle, you run it by the hole just a little bit, and you have a 2.5 foot putt for birdie, you know, okay, that's doable. So easy cleanup to get the round going on the right foot. Nope, that didn't happen either.
Oh.
He missed a birdie putt, leaving another short putt for a frustrating par. Right, so he's got par. Okay, but it turns out that par wasn't in the plan either, because he lipped that one and ended up tapping it in for a bogey.
Oh no!
So you drive to the green on the first tee, and then you end up with a bogey.
That's terrible.
Your first putt's an eagle shot, and you wind up with a bogey.
That's terrible.
That's how I know I could be a professional golfer.
Man, you gotta be like, and you have to put that out of your head and everything, and you gotta move on, and that's gotta be hard.
No, you can't do that.
You just hit an amazing shot. And you're like, I four putted. God.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, I loved it. When I was reading this, I loved that. I was like, yeah, you know what? He's out there doing this for every man.
It's amazing pro golfers four putt. I mean, it's amazing they four putt. This is what they do for a job. Their job is to do this all the time.
You know what? Even when they two putt, I mean, unless it's an obscene length, right?
Yeah.
I'm amazed that even when they two putt. I'm always thinking like, oh, if you're like within 20 feet of the hole, isn't that automatic for you guys?
Exactly. I watched this video of Tiger Woods talking about his short game, and he was like talking about all the different things he could do, and he was like, and then I could hit it low, I could hit it high, at different grips and stuff. And then he had a cut to like his teacher or another fellow pro that said, oh, I've seen Tiger in his backyard for hours, like 4 to 5 hours working on his short game. And I'm like, yeah, that's what he does for a living. It's not like me or you finding 4 hours outside of our work schedule to go practice our golf game. That's what they do for a living. It's amazing they four putt. It's amazing they miss anything. It's amazing they chili dip shots.
Well, that's when you all know it's mental.
Yeah, right? It's just, yeah, it affects your head.
Because, it just got in his head and that was it.
Like, if you play, you can take a green, no matter how big it is, and tell a golfer, a professional golfer, his life depended on getting that ball in the hole in three putts. And they would go, no problem. I go, I don't care if it's 100 feet. I don't care if it's 10 feet. I don't care if it's slick. I don't care if it's downhill. I will figure this out. I can get this in that cup in three putts. Four putts? Ugh, I don't even think about that. Four putts, that's terrible.
Yep.
God, but that's kind of funny at the same time.
It is.
All right, let's get to the bad then.
Well, we got two bads of the day.
Two bads.
One is because we're on the brink of the Canadian-American war.
Ah, where are we? What are we doing with this?
Well, it's a dangerous time. It's a, you know, hide your women and children, keep them sheltered. Canada, I guess, is apparently getting upset because the XFL is signing a bunch of CFL, signing actually the best players from the CFL.
Oh, are they really? I did not know this. I did not know this.
So Canadian fans expectedly are getting upset with that. I just think, you know, it's the brink of the war.
Oh, yeah.
War between us and our neighbors to the north.
We've already taken pretty much the NHL away from them.
Yeah,
now we're going to take CFL away from them,
I mean,
too.
How many Canadian teams are left? Like
yeah,
four?
Hardly any. And by the way, the Stanley Cup hasn't been in Canada so long, I don't even know if they know what it looks like.
They don't. They see pictures.
They see pictures.
Yeah, and they'll watch it on video.
Oh, and it comes around whenever the Canadian player brings it home, but we all know who he's playing for.
Yeah.
Somebody in the United States.
So, I mean, war is inevitable.
No kidding. Are they really that mad about this?
I guess so. I mean, CFL. I mean, think about it. If you take away, I can't even find an equation because we all have the best players. But I mean, if you keep taking away their best players, your product becomes terrible. I mean, imagine if there was like a exodus of NFL players saying, you know what, I'm tired of this league. I'm tired of Roger Goodell. I'm tired of what the owners are doing. We're heading to Canada.
Right.
And I'm going to take my talents north.
That's a good point.
We would be so bummed. We're like, all of a sudden, you know, our NFL resembles the AAF.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We'd probably be kind of livid. You know?
What is going on?
Yeah, and especially like the CFL has been around a long time.
Yeah.
Really, really long time. Yeah. So it's already got... It's got it's got longevity, and they're losing players to this startup thing.
Yep.
Like, that has not proven itself yet?
Yeah. Are these players going to come back?
Yeah, that's
true. I mean,
true.
It's not like, you know, the NFL is saying, oh, we're going to go play XFL for a week or two, and then we'll come back and be ready for midseason. You know, it's not even a cards for that thought process.
And I haven't figured, I don't know the pay structure in the CFL, but are you really making more money in the XFL?
That's a question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Or is it more likely, like, if I'm good enough to make the NFL, they'd rather notice me here in the XFL than the CFL? I don't know. But I can see people being pretty upset about that. So we're on the... All right, well, buckle down.
Yeah, get ready. Canadian-American War.
Get ready for those Mounties.
We'll have it in our history book years and years to come. The second bat of the day, it's just... You remember when Harvey hit?
Right.
And the Astros had a home series that they couldn't play... against the Rangers.
And they
politely asked the Rangers, hey, can we switch places?
Yep.
You know, we'll take our home series, we'll play at your building this week, and then at the end of the season, you know, the water should recede. We can actually have our home game. And the Rangers said no. So the Astros ended up hosting a home game in Tampa.
That's right. I remember that. That's right.
Right. Well, the coronavirus has reared its ugly head once again. China, the women's Chinese team, is trying to qualify for the Olympics. And this weekend, they'll have a home game against South Korea in Australia.
Oh, that's a long way to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess the game was originally scheduled in Wuhan. So, I mean, obviously you don't want to play there.
Right.
But it's just a growing list of sports in China that have... had to either just outright cancel events, postpone it, reschedule or relocate. And so, I mean, we're leading into an Olympic year, and China can't host any of their Olympic qualifications.
Right, exactly. That's a great point.
Everyone's afraid to do anything.
Has anybody been, I mean, I know it's kind of been on the periphery of the news, but it hasn't really been in depth in the news about Tokyo and the Summer Games?
I think it's on everyone's mind.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's taking the action that needs to be taken. And
I think
they're fine.
I think that, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with, Tokyo or, you know, Japan so close to China. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's just we're going to gather a bunch of people from around the world in one spot. And so this outbreak could be anywhere.
Right.
Obviously the largest concentration is China. I mean, there's pretty much by now every country in the world has had a coronavirus, you know, case.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's on the forefront of everyone's mind is like, you know, okay, is Tokyo going to be safe?
That's true.
A mixture of that many cultures.
That's true.
I don't know.
So, yeah, oh, that's interesting. I got to go. Man, that's a long flight.
Yeah,
kind of all the way to Australia.
Well,
to
not only that, I mean, they, you know, usually when you do these home and away matches, when you're doing Olympic qualifying, they're usually within a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
So China is playing in South. China's actually been in Australia. They haven't gone home in like 2 weeks.
The might Chinese as well live national there. Team.
They might as well just move, right?
Right.
Which I don't think is that a safe place. Is Australia stopped burning, right? We seem to not care anymore. I've noticed that. No more photos of koala bears and kangaroos on fire.
No, I think that's over. but I don't know. You know,
it could still. I mean, it was the largest fire like in the history of known man. It seemed like. I mean, the entire country I think was on fire. It's kind of remarkable that it was out. You know, now we're not on fire anymore. 2 weeks later,
I really want to go to Australia. I just don't want to fly that long. Oof. But I really want to go to Australia because I think it would be kind of neat.
So, but anyways, China has a match against in South Korea, like on the, I don't know, like coming up soon. And then 4 days later, all of them are flying to Australia to play a home match for China.
Wow. Okay.
That's a tough gig.
That is a tough gig. All right. So what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, you're going to agree with me on this one, okay?
Yeah,
I'm going to say the NHL missed a golden opportunity.
A golden opportunity, okay.
Yeah, because you had mentioned it before. You had brought up the fact, is anyone going to play this game or re-air the Miracle on Ice game on TV?
Right.
Right? I'm taking it a step further. I'm saying the NHL missed a golden opportunity. Why aren't they holding a game in Lake Placid this weekend?
That would have been a great idea.
Right?
That would have been a great idea. Sure, it would.
I mean, it's the 40th anniversary. I get it. Yeah, if it's 41, if it's 38, you know what? We'll talk about it. But the whole numbers, 40, 50, those are big numbers. Celebrate it.
Don't laugh at this question because this is a serious question. Is that hockey rink still around? Still around?
I have no idea, but I have to believe that Lake Placid has some sort of facility.
I got to think, too, but, you know, it's been 40 years. Sometimes people move. We go, well, we're going to move it to Salt Lake City, or we're going to move our stuff to Colorado Springs.
But we put hockey rinks outdoors all the time. Why can't we just set something up?
Yeah, that's true.
And then just bring in a grandstand. I mean, for the Phoenix Open, they build an entire stage within a week around an entire hole that seats like 3,000 people.
Yeah, they should have done something there.
There's not going to be a whole lot of people who would, you know, travel to Lake Placid for this anyways. Say if you just grab two random teams like Penguins and Flyers, right? And you just say, hey, you guys, we're going to do a game in Lake Placid. I just think they missed a golden opportunity. Could have had a real good celebration of the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, they should have. Yeah, they should have done it. It wasn't like it was sneaking up on you. I mean,
no.
But yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Because it was a perfect storm. It's on a Saturday.
It's on a Saturday.
That
sure.
too. So, I mean, you have, you know, you could have, I mean, and just showcase the NHL versus showcasing, you know, during an All-Star game. This is another way to say, hey, look at us. You know, this is hockey. I mean, I know the USA, the Miracle on Ice has nothing to do with the NHL, but it's hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
And that's all. That's all you need to know.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get to a couple of your tweets next on SB Nation AM.